I firmly believe that we deserve, period.
I just feel like it's important to keep saying that out loud, that this is us learning in public.
The foundation of How to Not Have Trash Politics is really just relationships, right?
So if you're not aware of how powerful you are, then how can you be using your power to bring others up?
We're giving you collective liberation. We're giving you personal healing. We're giving you millennial auntie with a mic.
You're listening to Scene, the podcast.
So here we are. It is 2023. Happy New Year.
Hello. Happy New Year. Gentle New Year, please.
Yes. Yes. I think this is the longest I've gone without seeing you in years.
Really?
Because we didn't see each other for all of December, right? Because you were off and away and...
Frolicking in the sun.
Yeah.
Yes. I know, I do miss you, but I also want to say that taking time and taking space makes the reunion so much better. So there's that.
Truly. Yeah, to kind of tend to the inner fire, I feel like we both feel a little bit more rejuvenated, I hope. Although
yes,
it is then sad when it's January and you're trying to dive back into everything.
Yes. Yes, I feel... like I was able to get some deep rest. And so, yeah, I'm really grateful for that. And also really happy to see your face. Like, it has been a hot minute, a very long, hot minute.
Truly. Yeah. So I'm really excited that we're finally starting this season. It became a longer hiatus than we intended, but very needed.
I know.
How are you feeling coming back to a new season?
I'm feeling so excited. First of all, I want to say that I feel really grateful that we can come back to another season. I mean, so much has changed in the past year. And I think, like I said before, when we create the space to take time away or just to take a break, it actually, I don't know, for me anyways, it just has created a lot more dreaming space and creativity. And so I'm really excited about what we can actually like pour into the podcast because we've been able to take some time away. Because sometimes I get like, I don't even know when you're like, it's like brain drain where you're like, what am I offering? What am I going to give? What are we going to do? So I'm excited about the focus of this season. I'm excited for us to get into conversations with each other again. And I'm just happy to be back. How are you?
I feel the exact same way. We had a chance to really let these ideas simmer in our minds for quite a while and had time to develop them. And that's something that we had sort of lost in the rigorous production schedule that we were doing before. So I'm very excited. I'm also nervous, like more nervous than I had been, which I think... was also something we talked about, that we were never really nervous anymore, which in some ways is nice to feel comfortable, but in some ways just felt like we were kind of in that like safe zone of we've talked about these things so many times, there wasn't as much exploration.
Yeah.
So I think the nervousness is a good thing.
I am nervous too. And I was going to admit it to you before we started hitting record, but yeah, I'm feeling like I'm excited about everything, but part of that is nerves. And then I think the nerves come from a place of, I really always hope that what we talk about and what I can even draw on a personal level is actually resonant and helpful for other people. And I think from taking so much time away, I'm like, am I still good at this? Like, can we still, you know, do we still have the juice? I think we do. I know we do, actually. And, you know, besides the sort of usual fumbling around trying to figure out how the podcast equipment works, like, I am just, you know, happy for us to be back in the pocket and the swing of things, right? Because as we have conversations with each other, it's like it almost snowballs into other kinds of conversations and other you know, deeper learning and different tangents. So like getting on back on the horse or back on the train or whatever, I'm happy that we're doing it.
Me too. Okay, let's dive in. So today we're introducing some of the ideas of the season, the themes of the season, and we'll be talking a bit about the changes that have happened in our lives and how those have inspired the topics and the explorations we'll be doing this season. And then we'll be giving a little bit of a preview of what each episode of the season will be like. We never used to be able to do that before because we had no idea what we were going to do past the moment that we were in. But there's we have concepts. We have overarching themes. Secrets,
girl. Shut the fuck up. It's true, though. We were just going, you know? And now we have some real great structure. And I'm happy we have that container. It's great.
Yeah. So the concept that is underpinning everything that inspired all of the episodes for this season is transformative justice for self. So let me get into what that means. So just as there are multiple people that make up a whole community, multiple communities that make up a society, you know, the saying, as above, so below. There's also different parts within each of us as well. We are complex. We contain multitudes. So understanding ourselves as having different parts, it can make our experiences less overwhelming and allow for nuance. Instead of the statement or the understanding, I'm too scared to do this, that feels totalizing, right? It's like, then the fear takes over all of us and there's not really a lot of room for nuance. We can say a part of me feels scared. And then that leaves room for being able to sense inwards and feel, yeah, a part of me feels scared and another part of me feels excited maybe. Mm-hmm. So now there's room for some complexity and more to engage with than just the one feeling.
Right.
Have you used parts language? Is this something that resonates with you?
Oh yeah. It's been really helpful for me as a person who spends a lot of my time in my head, and I'm usually trying to like sort through, okay, what is it that is my belief? What is it that's my actual feeling? And then like, you know, making sense of what's going on internally for me. And so parts work has been really helpful in acknowledging the parts of me that are like, you know, still kind of like a little girl or still struggling. It's also helped me really figure out like where I have power and autonomy and room to move so that I'm not always feeling, like you said before, stuck. Because I think that totalizing, like I'm too scared to do something, just, okay, the next step is to not do the thing. Mm-hmm. And when I recognize that part of me feels scared, but part of me feels excited and enthusiastic, then I can at least just speak to the parts of me that are excited and enthusiastic, tend to the parts of me that are scared and see that as like, that's all of me, right? I'm not just scared. I'm much more than that. So I really like the added, like you said, nuance that parts work can really help kind of access or open up for me, and I'm sure for you too, and hopefully for others.
Yes, exactly. I have had the same experience, but the same way that ruptures happen between, you know, different people, they can also happen within each of us and it can create internal harm. So maybe a part of me feels scared and then another part of me feels really frustrated with the scared part, or even another part of me is really judging the scared part and saying that I'm worthless and cowardly because I can't get past my fear. Mm-hmm. Right. So then even though it's natural to be afraid, we're having a shame response.
Right.
And the part of us that feels afraid also feels worthless. Yeah. Like we feel like there's something wrong with us because there's a part of us that feels afraid. And then what's harder than acting through fear? Acting
judgment.
Through fear and shame.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Shit is hard.
Exactly. So I'm sure this is an experience that you've had as well. Like this is something that
oh, yeah.
I I mean, and it's amazing how the work keeps going, right? It's like I've been doing work to reconcile those parts of me for so long, but it just keeps going.
I know. It's like a spiral almost, right? Like that, like, I think I know. And then the knowing gets deeper and deeper. And then I would say over time, it's gotten, I wouldn't say easier, but how much more quickly I'm able to catch myself as opposed to totalizing.
Yeah.
That's become, you know, it's like there's more like efficacy with that. But like, it's still a lot of work to sort and to not like descend into the chaos of now I'm just like a total ball of fear and shame and what's wrong with me and all this stuff. It used to take me so long to get out of that or even to recognize that was happening. So anyway, child, we're trying.
But it is, I mean, it makes sense. Again, it's the same way that we have different parts within ourselves. It is the same in some ways as relating from person to person. Mm-hmm. Like you and your partner or you and your best friend or you and your sister, whoever, might get really good at having conflict. Like you might find ways that really work for both of you to mm-hmm. talk about things and knowing, okay, maybe my partner needs some space right. for a little bit, or if we hold hands while we talk, it's easy. You know, we might have all of these little tricks and shorthands and things that make us really good at conflict, but we still have to have the conflict.
Exactly.
Right?
It's still
there. We still have to talk through it. We still have to work through it. And it's the same within ourselves, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And so these ruptures especially happen in the context of things like trauma and violence and oppression. Our systems are so brilliant and they know how to help us survive in sometimes really unimaginable circumstances. So when something is too overwhelming for us to handle, our systems split it up for us. And then different parts of us hold different aspects of our experience and our survival. So for example, sometimes an experience is just too painful for us to really hold. It's too overwhelming. So we learn to disconnect from that pain. But sometimes we're going to get triggered and the pain comes pouring out. Mm. So there's the part of us that's holding the pain of that experience, but then also parts of us that manage the one holding the pain to keep it away from our conscious awareness. Mm-hmm. Is this resonating with you?
When you say that are like managing, are you saying like maybe there's parts of us that feel, let's say, shame, what's wrong with me? Why can't I handle this thing? And then parts of us that are like, I want to say like the mother hen that are like, no, let's give ourselves some slack. Or what do you mean by managing is my question?
Well, so ideally we have those parts that are the mother energy yeah. saying like, let's hold this, let's nurture. But sometimes we don't have capacity for that. Mm. And so the pain starts to come up and another part is like, nope, can't feel that. Let's
switch off.
Do to some online else. Shopping.
Right. Okay. I know her. Yeah.
Let's have a drink.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Let's, you know, or even just to shut it down, be like, no, stop it. Like you're so like, you can't do this.
Right.
Don't cry. Hide it.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's so many ways that we learn to manage
right.
okay. our pain.
Yep.
And then often I think that is where those ruptures happen because there's parts of us that do desperately need that care and that nurturing, but because we don't have the support within ourselves and around us to hold the enormity of the pain, mm-hmm. we find little shortcuts. Like we find just ways to shut it off, like the online shopping, like the, you know, picking a fight about something else, like just shutting down.
Right.
There's so many ways, but then that part of us is left alone with yeah. the pain.
Yeah.
And so this is how the different parts of ourselves end up being, I think, in conflict with each other and really hurt by each other.
Right. And that's where like the nuance that you said, being able to hold the multiplicity of parts of ourselves that are even more fractured than we might know or understand, that's where that is so helpful mm-hmm. where it's not a matter of being like, you know, yes, there might be a part of me that's shutting down. And then there might be another part of me that's able to be like, I'm shutting down. Like, mm-hmm. like, holy shit. Like, clearly I don't want to deal with this. And maybe we can give ourselves permission to shut down and come back later. But like that, you know, even that sequence of events, if we're able to notice I think can be such a challenge to be able to like develop that or nourish that or affirm that part of us that comes back to it, right? And like I think that the nuance that you're talking about, but also just like transformative justice is being able to come back and work in cycles and not see everything as, you know, I put that in a box and it's gone and I'm not dealing with it anymore. And every time it comes up, I should just keep on dealing with it that same way, put it in a box and put it away. But it's like we can come back and we can return to that thing that might have caused us harm. And maybe we're approaching it a little bit differently. Maybe we're approaching it with a little bit more tenderness or grace or distance even. So we're able to actually observe it as opposed to be completely, I don't know, in the throes of the waves of it all, you know?
Absolutely. And as we're working with all of this, as we're trying to hold all of it, we're trying to heal these internal things that are happening, I immediately think of transformative justice, because to me, it is the most revolutionary way of addressing harm. Mm. So instead of punishing ourselves for yeah. harms that have happened internally, right? We want to hold deep empathy and deep care and love for all of the parts of us, knowing that, you know, the part of us that's holding the pain, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's not our fault that we're in pain, and we want to be able to hold that with love and care. But also the part of us that's shaming and that's, you know, calling the other part weak and saying like, you know, get over it. And like, this is so frustrating. Why are you still on this? Mm-hmm. That part is also doing the best it can, right? Because the pain is very overwhelming. And of course, it makes sense that there would be parts of us that would be frustrated because we don't have, you know, the full capacity. We don't know how to work with that. We don't have the support to work with that. And we just want it to go away. And that's so natural, mm-hmm. you know? So we want to have deep empathy and care for that part too. Mm-hmm. And the part that, you know, drives us to online shopping. It's like we might hate that part of ourselves because now we have all this credit card debt and it's really, you know, destroyed our lives or whatever.
Right.
Okay, it makes sense to be angry at that part. Again, we want to have like empathy and care for that anger. And also that part was trying to survive the best it could. It didn't know a better way to numb mm-hmm. that unbearable pain, mm-hmm. right? So it's like we're wanting to hold all of the different parts of ourselves mm-hmm. with empathy and with care and with love and look at, okay, how can we transform the conditions? How do we transform the conditions within ourselves, around ourselves, so that we can start to heal this harm?
And that's where like, because a huge part of transformative justice is accountability. Mm. And I think that being like, where does accountability fit into what you've just said? I think it fits in to that place of being able to see sort of the bigger picture and understand, you know, how we can approach the parts of ourselves that are frustrated and angry with, you know, angry with things we've done in the past, and recognize that there are parts of me that don't want my life to look like this. Okay, so how can I have some more care and generosity and grace for myself, and also tune into and really affirm that part of me that wants something different, right? Like that there's space for all of that. It's not, you know, for me anyways, I've noticed that the more I am able to do parts work with the aspects of myself that are like mean to me, like, you know, like that are really, really critical or really judgmental or whatever it is, like you said before, those parts are also trying their very best and they're there for a reason. So like what, mm-hmm. if I could, you know, take the most altruistic, you know, aspects of those critical parts of me, what am I trying to communicate to myself? Albeit shittily, right? Like I'm not saying it to myself in a great way. Maybe it's that like I wish that I had more ability to, you know, make decisions with a bit more, I don't know, thoughtfulness. And like that's where the judgment is really coming from. Okay, I can work with that. I can't really work with, what the fuck do you make such bad decisions? It's like, well, what is a bad decision then, right? So there's that element of like that healing, that nuance, but also the accountability comes to us as like love, right? Like how can we actually listen to even the parts of ourselves that are like mean as fuck to ourselves and recognize that those parts are doing their best and that there's something in that meanness. There's something in that mm-hmm. meanness that we can explore that actually can help us like be more accountable to what we actually value or actually want. Does that make sense? Or how does that resonate for you?
It completely makes sense. And I think exactly, it's like getting all of these parts at the table and being able to sort of be the mediator, be yes. the one who can hold like everybody's perspective and hold it all with empathy and with care. And then it allows us, when we're doing that, when we mediate and we allow each part's perspective to be part of the path forward, then we get to transform, right? We get to transform our lives, like within ourselves, around ourselves. So as an example, you know, maybe we need to set boundaries with people around us who judge us for being afraid, just like that one part of us within us that also judges us for being afraid. Maybe mm-hmm. the outer voices that are echoing that inner voice right. need to go away. Or, you know, maybe there's things that we need to do to honor certain parts of ourselves. It's only with the perspective of all of the parts together that we can really feel that path forward that works for the whole system.
Yeah. Because when we try to shut out the mean parts, I know why we do that. Like, I know it's like, I don't want to be mean to myself. Like, what the fuck would I want that?
Of course.
But I think we neglect, because there's truth in so many directions. Like there's something that we can learn even from the ways that we dole out cruelty on ourselves. Where is that coming from? Right? Like, where is the meanness coming from? Where is the desire to control ourselves coming from? Where is the judgment coming from? Like, where can we find some nuance even in the things that usually we'd want to reject, especially from other people, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously even more so from ourselves, right? Like we've talked and had episodes on like shitty self-talk and negative self-talk and all those kinds of ways of how do I speak to myself? How do I look to myself? And it's like, how can we not throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, on the things that we would normally want to really just shut out? And how can we, like, I love that idea of, like, they're all around the table. It's like your board of directors and you're mediating the conversation with even the parts of you that are like, and you ain't shit. It's like, well, why do you mm-hmm. think that? Where does that come mm-hmm. from? Right. And so much more. Yeah,
exactly. And I think just like in real life, TJ processes with multiple people, there might be some people coming to the table that don't have the best communication skills yeah. or like don't really have the ability to view things in this like TJ lens. And so as the facilitator, you're kind of helping to translate, right? And helping to give skills. So there's that part of us that doesn't know how to communicate better. But as that mediator, as that facilitator, we can glean, what are you really trying to say here? Right. What are you really feeling?
Yeah. And distilling those things. And then, like you said, showing ourselves how we can frame that in more gentle, more loving, more compassionate ways. Because most of the time even when there's folks who are like, I don't know how to communicate this, and they just like spit something out and it's like hurtful or mean, if you get at the root as to like what it is they're trying to say, they might be doing something because they're like, I'm trying to be hurtful, but they might also just be trying to communicate the best way that they know how. So how can we resource, right? Like, how can we give people the tools? How can we give ourselves the tools? How can we recognize when it's like, actually, this is not as helpful. Like, if my goal is to communicate so that somebody understands me, well, what gets in the way of understanding? Cruelty, shame, judgment, all these things. So how can I, you know, be more mindful, be more aware, also just sort of build some scaffolding around what it is I'm doing and how it is I'm doing it, because those things matter, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even when somebody is trying to be hurtful, why are they trying to be hurtful?
Right.
Right. Exactly. There is a purpose. Yeah. It's like, what are they feeling beneath that yeah. that's fueling that behavior? There totally. Is a purpose. And when we use this, you know, TJ lens, we don't just dismiss someone as, oh, you're just a bad person.
Exactly.
Right? Because you're trying to be hurtful, you're just bad. It's like, well, no, let's figure out what's actually going on that's causing this behavior. So mm-hmm. I'm actually really excited about us and the sort of the collaboration in the way that we're going to be approaching the transformative justice for self theme of the season, because as a therapist, parts work is what I do. Parts work in an anti-oppressive context. That's what I do every day. And you've done so much learning around transformative justice. And we also are both bringing our personal work. So I think I'm really excited to see how our different sort of backgrounds work together to explore these themes.
Yeah, me too. Stoked about it.
As we're working with this idea of transformative justice for self, we're talking about these processes of healing. We're talking about these processes of change. And so this season, each episode is going to be focusing on different aspects of these healing processes and these change processes, and exploring how to work with each aspect in a way that supports us to reconcile with ourselves and create the conditions within ourselves for harmony and for peace and rest and joy and all those beautiful things that we all deserve. So the episodes, some of it will be sort of looking at some of these different parts that are coming to the table, right? And really communicating with them, or in this process of reconciling, you know, what's a theme that can come up or something that can happen between parts. Like, these are the things we're going to be really pulling apart and examining throughout the season. But before we give you a little just brief preview of each episode, I want to make this a little bit less abstract, because part of what inspired the season was the fact that our lives have changed so much since we started this podcast. And it felt like we really needed some space to examine that head on and to look at where we are now and the sort of the new places, the next levels that we're struggling to get to or struggling to discover right now. I'm going to ask you a really big question, but also ask you to keep it brief. So
okay.
Let's see how you can walk this tightrope.
Let's do it.
Just, I would love to hear even just like a list of like things that have changed in your life since we started recording Scene almost 4 years ago.
Holy shit. That was, 2019? Is that 2019?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a business now. I make more money than I did before. I have released, or at least just reconciled with, a lot of the anger that I was feeling and have felt for many, many years, in particular towards my dad. I have a different relationship with my own thoughts and my own, the way that I think. I value my thoughts and what I think a lot more than I did before. I have a different relationship with quote unquote community or people that are external to me, in the sense that I know 4 years ago I was a lot more, and I continue to be, but I keep it at bay, or at least I'm aware. I was a lot more scared of what other people thought of me. And it culminated in a lot more people-pleasing tendencies. And now I'm just aware. I'm not saying that I'm not a people-pleaser. I'm saying I'm aware that I am a people-pleaser. I'm learning what my role is in my family beyond jumping into the action planning mode and the, you know, person who fixes everything. That I also am deserving of that support that I feel like I've almost automatically always doled out to other people, in particular my sisters and my mom. I have a different relationship with the Nick that is in a relationship, I think I used to feel a lot more, a stronger desire to control Nolan. And now I feel a lot more capacity within myself to see him truly as a person on his own path, and our paths are like aligned, or, you know, we're walking side by side. And I'm really proud of that. I'm married. That's also a change. Mm-hmm. I'm better at saying no. I think that's, is that the list? That's the list for now.
Beautiful list. Yeah.
Can I ask you this list?
Yeah.
I mean, you can react to mine first, but yes, I would love to know what yours are.
I just, I'm just taking yours in because I really appreciate your care and attention to not only the outer circumstances that have changed, and there have been many, but the inner landscape and how transformative that has been. And I'm imagining that that inner transformation is a big part of what has supported the transformation in the actual sort of material conditions of your life, mm-hmm. like having your own business, for example. Mm-hmm. That's something that I know takes a lot of work to be able to put yourself out there in that way and believe in yourself and bet everything on that.
Yeah. Thank you. Shit is scary. Just want yeah. That's what I'm going to say if it were to happen. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, when we first started developing the podcast almost exactly 4 years ago, it was in January.
Wow.
And I was still working in the service industry. And what a time that was. My life was very different in terms of who was around me day to day, where I was living, who I was living with, where my energy was going day to day. So much of my energy was spent on surviving the service industry, which was so hard on me. Mm-hmm. I co-created a community resource that then became a nonprofit and has just continued to grow and grow. That has been a pretty monumental shift mm-hmm. in my life. I am in a serious relationship for the first time in many years, and in some ways for the first time in my life. Mm-hmm. Which has been beyond transformative, and continues to be. Yeah, I think there's been, and there is currently, you know, a lot of work on what do I want my life to be? You know, I think going from the service industry with a little bit of kind of counseling on the side, trying to grow that, to then having this career of my counseling practice and the nonprofit and the podcast felt like, okay, I've created the life of my dreams. And then now in some ways I don't want to say growing past it, but I'm feeling the need for things to change mm-hmm. in certain ways. Mm-hmm. So that's very much ongoing. I've also lived like 1,000 lifetimes in terms of my health. I, you know, in 2019 when we started I was feeling better than I'd ever felt in my life, and then had a huge crash, and then have kind of been like clawing my way out of it. And now it's just managing it in a different way, but it's still an ongoing exploration. So yeah. A lot.
So much. I got chills at the beginning when you were talking about you were still in the serving industry. I'm like, oh my God. I remember, like, just that feels like a whole lifetime ago.
Yeah, it was several lifetimes ago. Yeah. There was no pandemic at the time. Right.
Oh my God.
Good times.
I know.
The before times. Mm. So you started to touch on this a little bit, but I just wanted to also ask again if there's more that you want to add about how your relationship with yourself has changed through all of this.
I think I'm getting to a place where I don't constantly see my life on a spectrum of succeed or fail, like on a binary. And I have developed a different relationship to learning. Like, what is it, like, everyday learning and learning about myself and learning about what motivates me. And so much of that was fear, and some of it still is. And it's fear of disappointing other people, fear of being wrong or being seen as wrong or incorrect or not knowing enough, fear of making the wrong decisions. So there's so much judgment that I think I was really, that was like the motivating force in my life, let's say. And I think that that's changed because of, in many ways, because of parts work, where I'm able to more readily check in with myself and figure out why I feel the way I do. Because it's like, and separate the difference between I'm feeling this way. It's not a belief. It doesn't mean that I am this way. I feel like I don't know anything. It doesn't mean I don't know anything, right? That's not a fact. It's just like a feeling. And then I can, I think, more readily just give myself the space to feel what I need to feel and get on with it and not feel so. And I've also, I can't say that all of this personal growth that's been happening is just, you know, me, myself, and I. Like, so much of that has been mediated and affected by the people that are in my life and people that are around me. And I've recognized that. In a way, I think I used to feel like it's just me against the world. And I think I also used to feel a lot more, I really don't like this word, but I can't think of anything else, that I was always like fighting. And not fighting like, fuck you, fight. You know, like that kind of fighting, but like always felt like I had something to prove. And maybe it was mostly to myself, but also it was to other people. And so I think, yeah, now my relationship to myself is a lot more, I want to take myself less seriously, but I also want to give myself serious attention. And like, that's different. Before, I used to take myself way too seriously and not give myself any attention. And so that's like, it's interesting. Like, I'm like a lot more comfortable with being like, I don't know. And the next step isn't always to go find out. Sometimes it's okay to just not know and to say, that's not why I'm put on this earth. That's not my skill. That's not my bag. That's not for me. That's not, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that I'm making a mistake. It doesn't mean that I'm missing out on an opportunity. Sometimes it does. And I'm getting better at checking in with myself and being like, do I not want to do it because it's hard? That's not a reason to not do it for myself. But is it like, I just don't have the capacity? I don't know how to do it. It's not in line with my spirit. It's not going to benefit me or mine, like, or the people that I care for. Those are, I don't know. I think I just, I'm better at asking questions of myself. That's a huge thing that's changed. Before, I used to just not ask questions and be, like I said, I wouldn't pay attention to myself. Now I ask myself questions. And sometimes that can be annoying. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also been really supportive in my business, being able to ask questions. So yeah. It's kind of that double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. And I definitely relate strongly to the ways that you're acknowledging how the people around you have supported those changes as well. I think it's so important to acknowledge all of the resources that we have, and I think our greatest resources, if we're lucky enough to have those supportive people in our life, it's them. Mm-hmm. And I know the people in my life have supported my dreams in so many ways, supported all the shifts that I've made in my career and in my life, and have supported me to learn how to take care of myself and my chronically ill body, and have really been providing me the safety to begin to recover and reconcile with a lot of parts of myself that had been exiled, you know, parts of myself that are very sensitive, very emotional, that are holding a lot of the pain of my experiences, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I allow myself to be in those emotions in a way that I think, I mean, especially connecting, you know, that I was still in the service industry, I had to, there's so much that I had to numb. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it's been a long, slow process of unlearning that and the ways that those things, you know, connected to so many threads that existed in my life long before that. It continues to be a long and a deep healing process. But as we kind of stand in this moment and look ahead at the season that we have planned and everything we're going to be exploring, I wanted to ask you, what do you wish for yourself in this process and as you continue to work on healing your relationship with yourself?
Probably patience. Like, I hope that I can cultivate more patience with myself. And one of the episodes, which we'll talk about in a minute, I want us to talk about that. But I know I spend a lot of my time being like, things should be like this, or feeling like I'm not there yet. And I want to bring, I think with patience, I'm also cultivating an appreciation for how things actually are, like trying to see how far I've come. Or seeing how far I've come, rather. And not just like how far I have to go. So I want to be more present with where I'm at and not see it as like I'm wasting time. I also want to come to these conversations with you with more reverence than I think I was able to give in the past, not all the time, but particularly as we were winding down before we took our break, it was like, I never want to see this work as something that I'm like, oh, I gotta go to work. Like, you know, and it is work. Like, it takes time for us to sit, to have these conversations and to plan and to produce and to, you know, all that sort of stuff. But this is also like a really healing platform or thing that we're doing together. And so, yeah, entering into it with that energy, and it might not always be like reverence, you know, it might be like playful or whatever, but that I want to be able to soak up every single episode for myself and not just do it for listeners' sake, you know, like not do this thing that we do because we've planned 10 episodes, but because we are here to do this work alongside each other and kind of returning to that. I remember when we started the podcast and we were like pulling back the curtain, right? Like, we're the idea of just us having a conversation and people being happy bystanders, listening in, you know, a fly on the wall. Yeah, I think that's what I've almost like lost the fucking train of thought for this question, but that's what I want for myself for this season, you know, is like patience, reverence, presence. Those are the things that I want. How about you?
I am really wanting to offer myself and to co-create with you empathic space. Mm. You know, just space for every part of me and every part of you to show up and to be listened to and cared for and honored. I think that's a really big one. And I just hope for curiosity as well. You know, that I can show up to each conversation with an openness, with a curiosity for what is going to emerge, and the freedom to allow the process to unfold in the way that it needs to. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to necessarily go in with a goal of at the end of the season, I will feel X thing or I will have explored X part of myself, but really allowing the different parts of myself to emerge as they need to and for the process to surprise me in the way that it unfolds.
And I know it will, but I love that a lot because I think, yeah, I really appreciate the allowing all parts of yourself to show up. It's like also without judgment, without, oh my God, if this part shows up, am I going to just like put her in a box and like not, you know, not honor it, like not say it? So yeah, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. So let's move into a little brief preview of what each episode of the season will be. And we'll start with you with episodes 2 and 3.
Yeah. So episode 2, I want to talk about why change is so irresistible and inevitable, like sort of the alchemy of it. Because TJ asks us to be honest with ourselves and how we contribute to harm, even self-harm, self-sabotage. So it's like there's something that motivates us to feel like we're ready to change. And there's also many parts of us that resist change. And so I want us to get into that together and tease that out. And then in episode 3, I want us to talk about fear, and particularly the fear of being seen, and how visibility or being in the limelight or being in the spotlight really adds pressure to our experiences of transformation, and how we might want to look inward at ourselves more lovingly and compassionately, not just critically, because criticality is a form of punishment, particularly when it's turned inward. And so I want us to just get a little bit more tender with that.
And then episode 4, we'll be talking about safety. So we'll be exploring the ways that we work to build trust with different parts of ourselves and how we can work to create a safe enough environment for ourselves so that as we heal or as we change, all of the different parts of ourselves are supported. And then in episode 5, we'll be talking about radical self-love. So this is an episode where we explore something we're working toward, finding out what radical self-love would mean, what it would look like, but also how we can start to practice that even before we have it all figured out and when we're still struggling to forgive ourselves or accept ourselves.
In episode 6, I want us to talk about grief, because transformation and change can be both beautiful but also shitty and painful and hard. And I want us to get into a deeper practice of holding grief and loss or pain as teachers or wisdom givers. So that'll be, I think, a really special conversation, because as we know, as we change, there's so much that we lose. Old versions of us, old parts of us, relationships, all of those kinds of things. So we'll get into that together.
Episode 7, we'll be talking about hope. And this is a feeling that can actually be one of the hardest things to hold as we're working on our healing. So we're going to explore how we can work to allow parts of ourselves to feel hopeful and the sacred role that hope can play in moving us towards these transformations in our lives.
In episode 8, we're going to talk about stagnancy
because where we are moving and growing, there's also that space in between, that liminal space from where we are and where we want to go, and sort of the meantime in between time that can get us, I would say, pretty fucked up, because we might end up feeling like we're failing or we're slow or we're stuck. And so this is where I want us to have, like, you know, a conversation about cultivating patience and fortitude in our change. I would say, like, a change practice, because we're always in that practice all the time. And then in episode 9, I want us to talk about leveling up and the growing pains of transformation, right? Like, what deep commitment to change looks like and feels like on the inside, not just what other people can see. The new challenges that come from growth, the fumbling about, the stumbling in the dark as we are trying to sort of turn the lights on to our evolving self. I'm looking forward to that conversation because I feel like it speaks to where both of us might be at, or hopefully a lot of folks are at, which is like, this is like, you know, this is great, but also this is hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then the last episode of the season, episode 10, we will be exploring the spiritual dimensions of what we've been working with all season. And of course, spirituality can be many different things. It can be secular, it can be religious, depending on what your beliefs are. But we'll be exploring how spiritual, or maybe you understand it as creative or life-affirming practices, can anchor and inspire the transformation that we're seeking. And for the first time, we will be having guests. So episode 3, we will be welcoming Harsha Walia. In episode 5, we'll be sitting with Nadine Tilma. In episode 6, we'll be having a conversation with Jay Simpson. In episode 9, we will be speaking with Mabrad Biene. And in episode 10, we'll introduce you to Marcelie Phyla.
I'm so excited about guests.
So, like, excited.
Who are we? I love this.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited about each one of the people that we've invited, and just cannot wait to share their brilliance with all of you. So to end, I wanted to feature a BIPOC of the week, and it is you.
What?
Nick, oh. You are the BIPOC of the week because...
You were
dope. You've just taught me so much about transformative justice. I've learned so much about it through your learnings and your generosity in sharing them with me and with us on this podcast. And it has been so deeply inspiring to the parts work that I do all the time with myself and with my clients. Like, it's really offered me a whole new perspective to bring to this work that I think is really radical and really exciting. And I'm so excited to keep learning from you throughout this season. And I'm also just grateful for the space that you provide, you know, the curiosity that you bring, the empathy, the care. I feel like I just learn so much about myself from getting to talk to you and the questions that you ask. You do come up with amazing questions. It is a beautiful strength. You're talking about that in your relationship with yourself, but you bring it to all your relationships, and I'm so grateful for it. So yeah, you are the BIPOC of the week. Thank you for teaching me so much, for inspiring so much of what we're doing this season. And I just can't wait to do this with you.
Oh, babe, that's so sweet. Also, it's that Gemini moon shit, let me say. It's definitely that, because it's like, it's just in every direction the questions come. So I'm really grateful for you. Thank you. It's a really special way to kick off our BIPOC of the week in our 2023 season. And I'm really excited about this season. Like, so for the first time in a really long time, like, really, really excited about having these kinds of conversations again. So thank you. And good to be back, y'all. Good to be motherfucking back.